Ken, welcome back to Outsite Radio Hours.
Thank you very much, Tom. Really happy to be here.
Wonderful. It's good to talk to you after it's been quite a few years. And
It has been.
And I've been reliving the moments, starting with Year of the Snake, which really caught my ear when I first heard it, and I still enjoy it today.
Oh, that's great.
But it's, now, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that's... I'm very proud of that first CD, and unfortunately it's out of print, although it's possible to get some copies here and there, but it's I'm very proud of that first effort of ours.
And I'm sure you are with Live Snakes as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about Live Snakes for a couple of reasons, which I could go into now if you'd like.
Yeah, please. I would like to hear why you're proud of this baby.
Well, you know, the thing that really excites me about it is that for many years I've hesitated to put out a live CD. You just have so much more control. I kind of am a little bit of a control guy, and you have more control in the studio. But you lose a lot of the, as everyone knows and has been said many times, you lose a lot of the spontaneity, the energy of a live performance. Which we've always tried to capture in the studio by laying down tracks pretty much live, but having something really live makes a big difference. And so I'm excited that this CD is really live and recorded in a number of different places, including actually a couple of tracks in a live studio without an audience. But it was the tracks were laid down totally live. So I count that as being live, but that excites me to have this this document of that kind of energy from the group, and a great roster of players throughout the entire CD. The group, as you know, has a somewhat fluid list of musicians who perform with us. Although right now, at this very moment, it's pretty consistent, but. The CD has a great bunch of players on it. Really excited to have them on the CD.
One of the things I was thinking when I was reviewing the notes here is you work with such an illustrious set of musicians that have so many other credits and projects that they're involved in. I was a bit amazed not only that there was a live album, but over multiple dates. It's incredible to me you can get these people together to record an album, let alone perform several times.
Well, you know, the fact is that these were primarily performances. You know, it wasn't primarily recording for a CD. This was performances that I had great musicians for, and I managed to arrange to have recording gear at a couple of those performances. Sometimes they were some of the recordings are just board tapes that I got from the engineer. So they weren't, it wasn't even planned out that I'd have a recording of them, but I just got those tapes and there was some really great stuff on it, so I was able to incorporate that into the CD. There was, as I say, the one scenario that was slightly different was where we went into Josh Roseman's place in Brooklyn, and that was, we recorded that specifically to be on a CD, but some of it was just live performances that ended up sounding great and had great musicians on it, and wanted to share that with more people. So
I'm glad you did, and I'm glad it opens up with Parade, which is one of my favorite compositions, original compositions that you've given us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I originally wasn't going to open up with that track, actually, but I was encouraged by somebody who knows a little more about radio, actually, than I do. Although, I know something about radio, but he suggested very strongly that I open with that track. I think it works really well. I listened to his advice and switched the order just very slightly. I had the first two tracks switched in my original sequencing, but Cassandra 4 was first. But, that piece, it's very interesting. That piece was also on... I think it was a lead-off track, actually, on Year of the Snake. And this is a very different treatment, a different kind of drum thing going on, and a different feel slightly. And also, it's a stripped-down instrumentation. This is a recording from WNYC in New York. And I just had myself and Matt Dario on saxophones, no other horns, and a nice percussion section with Kenny Wallison and Phil Neighbors, my regular drummer. The great Kenny Wallison, a New York drummer percussionist, played with everybody in the world. And Blake Newman on bass. And it really kicks, especially their drum intro is just like off the charts, in my opinion. But I like the tune is interesting because it's, I've said this before, but it's not really a tune. It's kind of a vamp with these interlocking melodies that just come in and out and show up here and there. And yet it's really one of my favorite tunes as well. So it's a little different kind of approach.
I agree. And on the point of it being different as well, I felt entirely comfortable playing the studio version from Year of the Snake, which I love, and this live version here on the same show. I think no risk of repetition to the reader's ears. Interestingly, hearing Que Sera Sera made me think of Forked Tongue, which I brought out. And I'm going to play a little later, Down by the Riverside. And one thing that I don't think I've ever been able to ask you is why you had picked that traditional to arrange.
Well, I guess I liked the tune, but, you know, and I was attracted to the tune. But also, I am very... I don't know, very have strong feelings about certain songs that have some sort of substance in their lyric or, you know, I guess in their lyric that, you know, is weighty, you know, Down by the Riverside. It's kind of a weighty lyric. And typically the song is done in a very light kind of up-tempo kind of fun way. And I thought that the song deserved a little more weightiness, I guess, in terms of the music and the rhythm. And, you know, I changed it from a major key to a minor key and just kind of gave it this big, kind of slow groove bass line. And to me, that gives it the, I don't know, that matches the lyric a little better, I think. Now, as I say that, I also realize and want to point out that a lot of second line music, it does that. It takes a slow, weighty piece and then brings it up tempo and makes it fun and celebratory. So I'm not really criticizing the celebratory up tempo aspect to the way people typically do Down by the Riverside, but I wanted to also add that sort of slow groove approach to the concept of the tune. And so that's sort of maybe that's why
thanks, Ken. And I have that queued up, but before we get to that, I wanted to step back and a more general question. I'm not obviously from or frequently in the Cambridge area. Well, one thing I've always wondered is how did you come about to conjure a little bit of the Crescent City on the East Coast?
It started with a performance that several of me and my friends did for a party, basically a loft party, and we had just sort of horns and percussion, and it was kind of almost an African sounding groove kind of thing, just like I said, horns and percussion parading around a big loft room, and that was. People liked that a lot. We ended up being asked to play some clubs, and we gradually developed a little bit of a repertoire. But with that non-chording instrument concept, in other words, no guitar, no piano, we noticed, and also not only did it just became a natural thing to connect to some of the brass band music of New Orleans, which is similarly designed with multiple melodic instruments and rhythm instruments, but no cording instrument. So it made a lot of sense to sort of adopt some of that material into this ensemble. In addition, I had, along with my wife, Karen Aqua, we had had some friends from New Orleans. We'd gone down there quite a lot and attended Mardi Gras and just spent a lot of time down there. Really were attracted to the city, to the sounds, the music, the culture. And I think that helped as well. And, you know, it just sort of was a gradual evolution to move in that direction of sort of New Orleans brass band music as a principal starting point, one of maybe several starting points that the band takes and then moves forward from. So I think, you know, I personally have also always been attracted to contrapuntal music, in other words, multiple mm-hmm. melodies happening at once. And that's also a really strong element of New Orleans brass band music. So, yeah, and other musics as well. But I think all of that stuff, the groove, the New Orleans second line groove, is a really compelling one for me. It's got that kind of syncopation lined up against a 4-4 beat, this clave rhythm that was brought over from Cuba and Haiti that drives the bass lines in general. And it just is a really fun concept. I guess the short answer is because I like it.
Well, I'm glad that you do, and I'm so glad that you continue on with it. I really hope I get a chance to visit your area sometime when the group is performing.
Well, that would be great, or maybe we could visit yours at some point. We don't really get out too much. We were recently in New York and in Washington, D.C. We had the great honor of playing at the Kennedy Center a couple of weeks back, and we had a great show at Barbez in New York. We haven't been getting down to New Orleans in the past couple of years with all the various things that have happened in life. It's kind of kept that from happening, but we're pretty active up here, and we actually have some very cool dates coming up. We're playing out in Roswell, New Mexico in July, early July, for the UFO Festival there. So that's going to be a trip. And then later in the month, on the 19th of July, we're playing in Venice, Italy, for the Redentore Festival, which celebrates the end of the plague in the 16th century in Venice. And we're going to be playing all night in outside there in Venice. That's going to be also quite an amazing experience, I'm imagining, and looking forward to that. So we are getting out of town a little bit, but maybe we can get to where you are as well at some point.
And maybe, and what you said there about Roswell, makes me think of was it the Roswell Jazz Quartet? I'm going back in my memory banks. There's mm-hmm. a piece you composed in or around.
Well, I released my first solo CD was recorded in Roswell, New Mexico, called Subterranea. Maybe that's what you're thinking
yes,
of.
Yes, yes.
So I have a connection with that city for many years. spent a lot of time there and go back, generally having nothing to do with the UFO thing, but they do have this big festival that attracts a lot of people, and they have asked us to participate in that. So that's it's going to be pretty cool, especially because I do know a lot of people out there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Ken, I really appreciate you taking all this time to talk to us, and I'm so glad you're keeping this genre and style of music alive and extending its definition and meaning, which I really think you're doing.
And well, that's very, very kind words. thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome, Ken. And Parting, could you do me a big favor and remind the audience who you are and what they're listening to?
Well, my name is Ken Field, and I'm the leader and saxophone player with the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble. And you're listening to the Outsight Radio Hours.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay.